Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's the AUA and I'm feeling okay. It's the AUA.
My parents are asleep.
Oh, I was going to say you should have said, it's the AUA on reality gays. It rhymed.
It doesn't rhyme because A doesn't rhyme with gays. It's
AUA's reality gays. Make it work. You're a lyricist. Y'all.
This is reality gays. AUA. Ask us anything. Not ass up.
Always.
Always.
Always. Always. It is the AUAs and your parents are asleep, but Muffin is awake.
Muffin is barking.
Muffin is awake.
Because she knows it's going to ruin it. Y'all, this is the week of Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, otherwise known as the doldrums. We are off currently. We're pre-recording this earlier. I'm at home with my mother and father and Muffin.
Just want to let people know, when they listen to this, you'll still be at home with your mother a week from now.
I'm coming back on the 27th, although I might move my flight earlier. I've been thinking about it. I might have an emergency.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to blame it on me. Maddie needs some shit. And then you're going to use me as a scapegoat.
Fuck yes, I am. If you get a text from my mother, you say, "Oh, my son. Cool.
I hope you're okay. Sure wish I could have seen Jaybird more, but I guess you're more important." What are you going to do?
Before we even start taking questions,
you want to tell it now? Okay.
I got something on my heart I need to share.
I got something on my heart. Brother Poodle, would you like to,
give me some organ music?
That's what I was looking for.
I need to share my testimony, right now. Y'all, I'm still laughing about it. It happened yesterday. I can't believe I...
No, not like actual.
Believe I forgot to talk about it on our last pod. But I was cooking with my mother. A lot of times when I'm home, I do a lot of the cooking or I help my mother because it's fun, you know, cooking together. I show her little tips. She shows me little things. Like today, she showed me about baking potatoes in the air fryer. You cut them in half and they cook really, really quickly. And you just spray some and they kind of become crusty on the outside.
God,
and brown.
Fucking gay.
Anyway, so she's sitting there and I'm like, I think your garlic has sprouted. And she was like, well, hold on. Alexa, add garlic to my shopping list. So I went, wait.
Whoa.
You've got an Alexa?
Whoa. I did not expect this.
Whoa. Now, I did one of those. I did a whoa. Whoa.
Whoa.
Apparently, my brother, who is a tech savant, he's really good at all things tech, had an extra one and told him that it's great for just saying things into... She doesn't really get into... Sometimes it's play music, but she really resisted for a long time. But she loves the shopping list thing. She doesn't have to stop what she's doing.
So that one worked. And Alexa goes, got it. Adding garlic to shopping list. She goes, thank you. She also says, add garlic to my shopping list, please. And she says, please. I'm like, Mom, you don't have to say please. Well, I'm trying to be polite. I raised you and your brother to do that. Cool. Think I'm just going to give her a command? I'm like, she's a robot. It's like, well, that's just me. I guess I'm nice. And then she's trying to do it later. And I said, we also need some ginger because I've been drinking ginger tea because my allergies are nuts. And she's like, oh, I thought I bought you a bunch of it. You need some more? And Alexa, add ginger to my shopping. And she kind of stuttered. She kind of stuttered. She was like, Alexa goes, I don't know a shopping list. Would you like me to create a new one? Stop being cute. I'm sorry. I'm not understanding you. You understand a lot more than you think you do. Sometimes I think they know what you're saying. You know what I mean? They know a lot more than they say. And you know what? It's the whole technology. I think they could know what you're saying. If they can like hear you, they can understand you.
And Alexa,
who knows what they're saying? And Alexa goes, sorry, didn't get that. And my mother goes, like you would. I was shaking over the sink. My mother with an Alexa.
Well, she's getting that technology for the zombie apocalypse. She's learning. She's going to need to. She's
Alexa, gonna put order Diet Coke from the man with the one eye down the road.
Yeah, Alexa, start charging Muffin. Actually, probably Alexa will be in Muffin.
Yes. Muffin. See if there's any zombies within 50 feet. Cool.
And Muffin, get me some garlic on the list.
No, it was not on my 2022 bingo card for my mother to have an Alexa. And she treats it like it's someone who cleans her house.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, sorry. I just needed to tell that story because it makes me laugh. My mother said, thank you, please.
Please, 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 please.
I don't know if y'all know. We talked about it a little bit. Kim Bali has come at us in our memes. She's being a good sport about it.
She is laughing at them. She is laughing at them. So
like,
far.
I didn't know I talked like a dimwit. Huh. I didn't know I looked. Whoa.
She's like, there's only one. There may be not a mother potential. So it's good. She's getting it. So, you know.
I hope she doesn't listen to all of it.
I don't think she does.
Should we start with the questions?
Let's start with the question. Okay.
Here we go. I'm excited about this. I'm scared.
There's way we're not going to get to these all.
Oh no, because we had like 380 questions.
Yeah, y'all. So we're going to do some, and then who knows? Maybe when we don't even have to do it again. Maybe we'll do this again. Maybe in July when we take a week off, we'll do another AUA then. So it will not be the last. We want to make it a tradition. Okay,
I asked some good questions.
They asked some really good questions, actually. I saw a 90-day question I really enjoyed.
Yeah, let's start with the 90-day question.
Basically, the question was, I'm trying to find it, but it is. Maddie and Jake, which two couples from the 90-day universe would you like to see on an episode of Wife Swap? The messier, the better. The messier, the better. Which two couples? So if y'all don't know what Wife Swap is, where are you? But that would be like, let's say, Pal and Russ, they switch with,
Annie and David.
David and Annie. So David goes to live with Pal, and Annie goes to live with Russ, and then Pal kills Annie. That's what happens in that.
Well,
that's not my choice.
The woman. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not my choice, but... what's yours?
I'm gonna go with someone recent.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Eve and Muhammad.
Oh, you
are going to swap with Memphis and Hamza.
Oh. Poor Hamza.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know which is poor. Not Muhammad.
Weirdly,
he's a combo. Poor Hamza.
I think Eve would be in heaven because it would hit. It fit right the way. It might make the kind of the guy she wanted. I think Hamza would, or sorry, Muhammad would be screwed, and I think Muhammad would get an earful.
I think so too.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Those two may take variations of each other.
No. Yeah. Mine would be, I'm going to go with the recent actually too. Mine would be, think I would do Bilal and Shida.
Ugh.
And this really sucks for Shida. It kind of is a lose-lose for her, but I just need this to happen to Bilal. That's really what I just need. I need Bilal and Shida to switch with Mother Debbie and Tony, and I just want Mother Debbie to just ruin Bilal.
I love this match.
Poor Shida. She's still not going to have a kid, but you know what? Sorry.
Who knows? Tony swimmers can still swim, maybe.
Who knows? Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You know what? I think he'd enjoy procreating, at least.
Probably.
But you're right. Debbie would make Bilal's life. She might be the only one. That's a really good one.
She might be
the only one to try to destroy him.
Yeah. Yeah, I would enjoy
she's
that.
She's so mean.
She's so mean. Look what she did to Colt.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, Poodle. We're just gonna pull questions. One. There's so many questions. So please pull
I'm gonna
one.
Choose one. Oh, this is a good one. Okay, this is kind of like who you are in life and who you are as a person.
Oh, great.
A fresh hot pizza comes out.
Oh.
Which slice are you grabbing? The one with or without the air bubble?
Why would you want an air bubble when that's just waste of pizza?
No, you grab the air bubble. It's an aesthetic thing. You take that. It's got like a lightness to it. It looks, and you want to bite that air bubble. There's something almost like sexual about it. I think I might have given myself away.
Again, I prefer not the air bubble. So
air bubble. I love it. Makes it look like it is a living, breathing thing. You're eating a piece of pizza. It's so good. Yes, air bubble for me.
Whoa. Okay.
Air bubble all the way. Team air bubble. Come at me if you're team air bubble.
Wow.
It's also going to be crispy like that because it gets, especially if it's a wood-fired pizza, it's going to be crispy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Don't fuck around with me with pizza, y'all.
Yeah. Don't fuck around with
y'all
pizza.
Y'all know how I am with pizza. Your turn.
Poodle. Okay, so this question says, being a little woo-woo, but have either Poods or Maddie talked to or been visited by someone on the other side in a dream?
You know, we're not going to talk about it this time, but in my coma, I was visited by people who were dead. There's one of my close, actually one of my really good, lovely friends who was also a client of mine who was I felt really spiritually connected to in life she sometimes comes to my dreams. She doesn't necessarily tell me things, but she's just there.
It reminds me too that there is Sissy Caitlin, our social media guru. She actually, I'm trying to find the actual post, but on our Instagram, we did a special episode. It's called like the bonus episode, The Coma Story. It literally is called The Coma Story.
The Coma Story.
So that is in that episode if y'all want
to
check that out.
Y'all can just search The Coma Story. It's on our free feed.
And go to our Instagram. I'm so glad you said that. She answers also some questions of how we met, things like that. She's answering some questions on our Instagram as well. I was actually the only person I can remember being visited by and dead actually was my dad. Whenever he died.
Are we sure he's dead?
We don't know. We don't know. It's going to be a year anniversary in January. He just might pop up.
Again, I wasn't at the funeral.
That's true. I didn't want you to come. Kidding.
Yeah. It could have been fake.
It could have been fake.
Like but, the moon landing.
It was like, let's see, he died in January, and then we had to wait to have, it was kind of weird to have a limbo. We had to wait a month before we could bury him.
I remember you saying this.
Because of COVID. Yeah. And but I had a dream, and I dreamt that, which speaking of Alexa, he's stuck in my Alexa now. He goes off all the time. I've already talked about that. But he-
I still find this ridiculous.
My brother called me the other day and was on the phone. I wasn't even talking. My brother was talking, and he started to talk about, he said, can I tell you a story about dad? And he told the story, and he said, don't you think dad would have said that? And then we hear my Alexa go, boom, boom. It's creepy. But I had a dream. I dreamt that what was weird about it is I talked to my cousin Kelly. She's like my sister, y'all. It's Aunt Peggy's daughter. Which, by the way, somebody asked how Aunt Peggy's doing. She's doing much better. She's doing some radiation for her cancer. It is a very, so far, it is a very, very slow growing cancer.
That's
so
wonderful.
On her tongue. So they're not going to do chemo or anything like that, but it looks like they can just treat it and make a decision down the road if she wants to have surgery. But right now we're just taking it slow. She's doing better. She thanks you for your
prayers.
That's
good to hear.
But so I was talking to Kelly, and I said, hey, I had a dream about dad. And in the dream, I dreamt that we were in a kitchen. And I said, I don't remember this. I feel like I knew this kitchen, but it was a white kitchen and it had yellow doors. And before I could say, she said, oh, that's grandma's kitchen. Remember the house that she used to live in before they tore it down and moved her? It was a white, and then the inside of the cabinets were painted yellow. And I said, yes. She's like, that was grandma's kitchen. And so in the dream, I was standing in the kitchen.
This is Grandma Hazel's kitchen.
Grandma Hazel, my dad's mom.
The
house he grew up in. So we should mind you, the house he grew up in that I'd only been in since I was like, after 6 years old, when I was six, they tore down. But my dad was standing there, and I said, well, hey, I said, dad, it's so, and it was very vivid. I said, dad, it's so good to see you. He's like, and he looked like not my dad when he died. He looked like my dad when he was about 45 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And how I kind of remember my dad.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He said, hey, Matthew. And he said, Matthew Dufloppy. That's just what he called me. He's like, hey, Matthew Dufloppy. And so I said, hey, dad. And I said, dad, how are you okay? Are you safe or something like that? And he said, yeah, I am. And he smiled really big. And I said, did you see grandma? And he smiled. And he said, yeah, she's cooking for me, baby. And I said, that's so good. And he said something like, I can't fully, but something like, I really like it there. And then he got this face and he said, baby, I'm cold. I got to go. And he said, but I'll see you later. And then I said, all right, daddy. And I put my hand on his shoulder and then I woke up. But it was the most real dream I think I've ever had in my life. And I really believe I was visited by my father.
You know, the lengths you'll go to make me believe your father's dead. I'm still not buying it. I'm going to need to see a death mask. And a coroner's report. Y'all, we're going to go to commercial real quick. We'll be right back with more questions.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or is it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
I think he's trolling me at this point.
No, see,
Now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is
coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have.
Okay, everybody, we're back. What's your next one, Poods? This is fun.
Okay, this is good. I like this one. Oh, this is a good one. Okay. I know I'm choosing the really kind of fun ones. What are your thoughts on Gen Z / young millennials' artificially thick eyebrows?
I feel like I just talked about this on a show, didn't I? Or was it?
We talked a little bit about eyebrows and how it should be done, but it does seem like a Gen Z millennial thing, young millennial.
I don't like it. I think it looks stupid, and I think it makes people look like, to me, everyone that does that, it makes them look like Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf, and they're half werewolf, half human, that they haven't progressed yet into full on werewolf on the basketball court. That's what I think.
I have a lot of thoughts on it, but I don't like anything. Draw your eyebrows in, fine, but I don't understand the brow fixation of this. I think it's a trend that's probably going to go out another year or so.
It's gonna go out quick. You're right.
Yeah, I
agree.
It doesn't look, every time I see it a lot on Instagram, it doesn't look good, y'all. Look in the mirror. If you're doing too much to your brows, if you think you're doing too much to your brows, if you're spending too much time, it's too much.
I agree.
Step away from the tweezer.
You should spend, I think, doing your eyebrows. You shouldn't spend no more than 5 minutes on your brows.
Thank you. Painting up
your brows.
Thank you. Thank you.
I like this next one. This is a two-parter from a sissy couple. I like this. Colleen wants to know Poodle's favorite opera, and Kevin wants to know who Maddie thinks is the sexiest Von Erich. Love from Chicago.
That is exactly who we are.
That is exactly who we are. And I will tell you, it's Carrie. Carrie Von Erich, and yes, he's dead, so sad story. But God, Carrie Von Erich, he was hot, and he didn't have the biggest dick. It was the tall one, but he still had a real nice dick, y'all. It was girthy.
I don't know who they are.
They loved.
Were right?
They were, yeah, and they're making a movie. Zac Efron's in it right now. They were from Denton, Texas.
Oh, I think I remember hearing about it.
Like two of them died from like drug overdoses or suicide or something real sad. So it's going to be a sad Zac Efron
allegedly
movie. I think he's gunning for an Oscar.
Yeah. Good luck, Zachy.
What's your favorite opera, Poodle?
You know, that's an interesting question.
Oh, God.
This is going to be layered. I'm sorry. You can't come at me with my favorite opera. An opera that I can see 1,000 times and never get bored of is The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart.
I agree with that, actually.
Figaro. An opera that is probably something that I could also see that moves me like no other and makes me cry, that affects my heart more, is probably Traviata by Verdi. I've seen Traviata at least 12 times. I've been in Traviata. I was Giuseppe, the servant who basically says three lines.
hey.
But I was part of it. And then an opera that always makes me think is a one-act opera by Francis Poulenc called La Voix Humaine, which is a woman having a conversation with her lover on the telephone, and you only hear her side of it. And they get cut off.
That is the gayest opera.
I know. And it's only about like 25 or 30 minutes.
I actually probably would really like that too. That's so fucking Poulenc.
I wrote a dissertation on it.
Whoa. That's actually gayer.
Sorry, not my dissertation, my master's thesis on it. Yeah.
Whoa.
And not only that, the use of Bakhtinian discourse about dialogism on it. It was, of course, there was a colon in the title. But no, I love, and I would say runner up is my favorite big opera is another Poulenc opera, Dialogue of the Carmelites. Because
we did that.
Music is so beautiful. It makes me weep. The last thing where they're being taken to the
guillotine
and being beheaded makes me weep like a baby.
It's a wonderful
beautiful
opera.
Yeah.
It the way it ends is beautiful.
Yeah.
I was in that opera, but I was just a soldier and I didn't have a line. Because the opera person didn't like me. On that note of people dying, Poodle. Fuck, marry, kill. David.
Oh, I thought it was my turn.
Well, it's too late. You talked a lot about opera. So.
Fine.
So, fuck, marry, kill. David from David and Annie. Deontay from Lalu. And Colty from 90 Day. David, Deontay, Colty, fuck, marry, kill.
I really want to kill David. You know how I think about David.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want to marry him either, and I don't want to fuck him. I'm going to have to kill David. I think I'm going to fuck Colty. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Wow.
Actually, that's not true. David has a big dick. So if I can pin his mouth, if Annie has said that, if I can like cover his mouth up, I can ride his dick without me thinking about it. I'm going to fuck David. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm going to kill Colty, and I'm going to marry Deontay.
Oh, wow. Now, I forget. Can you fuck someone when you marry them?
No. Remember, we talked about this. Marriage is more love thing.
Okay, so you're not having sex.
Yeah, you were confused about this, and I had to say this, and Sissies came for you to tell you how to think about this.
So even if I marry someone, then I'm not fucking them.
You are, but it's not the most important thing.
Okay, I'm going to say...
Marriage is all about love. Because that's what we were taught in elementary school.
I'm going to kill Colty because I can't deal with that beard anywhere near my body.
I get that.
If this was like original Colty, maybe I wouldn't kill him. But you know how I feel about big beards. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to kill Colty. I'm going to fuck Deontay and I'm going to marry David.
Ugh, that's the worst.
We'd have fun. We'd laugh.
Oh, God. That would be death. Okay, I'm going to do this. We got a couple questions about blowjobs. This one says,
Questions about blowjobs, y'all. A lot. Sorry, go ahead.
We just talk about BJs all the time. I'm terrible at blowjobs. I've been told by boyfriends. I'm sorry, honey. What's your best advice on giving them? I'm going to start with saying, number one, take the teeth out of the equation. That is probably the most important thing you can do.
I agree with that.
Number two.
It's hard sometimes when you have a guy who's like, open your mouth, let me fuck your hole. I don't like that. And I'm like, you're gagging me. And
fuck
I'm
your throat, yeah.
I'm not a fuck your throat person, but some people are. Now, if you are a fuck your throat person, raise your hand.
I just looked down.
Yeah. Well, hold on. I'll give it to yeah. So
I don't love it, but so many guys have done that.
But it can get teethy when that happens. You gave a tip. Now I'm going to tip. We'll go back and forth. My tip is don't forget the balls. Do not forget the balls.
Cup
them, lick them, go underneath, go under the hood, so to speak, and put, go to that little taint and just. Put them in your mouth like gumballs in a machine and just roll them around and lick them with your tongue.
And I would say cup them and treat them like you're sculpting something.
I wish your mother would walk in right now.
Because I'm doing like this with my hands, like Tune In Tokyo. Yeah,
you are. Any other dick tips?
I would say, so importantly, imagine that you're yawning.
As a vocal coach, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to get a specific question because I think this will help give you, there's a lot of people that have a gag reflex or can't take a lot of the dick in their mouth. Yes. So as a vocal coach, what is your suggestion?
You want to get your soft palate out of the way. And one of those ways is-
Wait, either, people, I'm going to stop you. Some people don't know what a soft palate is.
The area, thank you for that. The soft palate is, if you're feeling it, if you want to go back to where the roof of your mouth, where it gets, there's a the hard part of the roof of your mouth, which is called the hard palate, and there's a part where it gets a little soft, right where we tongue pop.
Well, kind of like the more back of your mouth. Yeah.
That's the soft palate. So you kind of want to get that out of the way. You can do that in a couple different ways by kind of half yawning, like, and inhaling, or you can snort and find that kind of like open snorty feel.
Yeah.
That's a way to lift your soft palate. You can get that.
Wait, don't snort
in
Don't snort while you're doing the sex, while you're sucking the dick.
Yeah, like, but before. Like before taking in said penis. Yes.
Honey, what are you doing in the bathroom? Be quiet, Charles. Carl, I'll be right there.
But you need to snort so it's creating space in your skull. So you can get skull fucked by that dick.
That is true.
But I would just say, create space. At the same time, what men really like is for it to hit the back where your soft palate is hitting. I'm telling you because I've lived this life. I know what men like. I know they say that I'm really good. I could probably get an award for this.
Humble.
And yeah.
Humble. Yeah. I'm just going to leave on this. Variation is key. Don't, if you're going up and down on that log, face it front, turn your head side to side, maybe add a hand, do a little spiral, mix it up.
The hand motions at the base are everything. Yeah.
If you've dated, a lot of men like I have, then you could two-hand it. So sometimes you can't. You could two-hand it. You could even do like, it doesn't have to be really fast. Can't be really slow. It's all variations.
And if you want to get a guy off because they love this, you can gag a little bit. Because a guy loves that.
If you gag a little bit, you say, oh, it's just so big. That makes them so hard.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to do it. Sometimes you need to be Sarah Bernhardt.
Sandra Bernhardt, but she was more licked pussies.
You need to gag a little to get them to the point. Because I'm telling you, it will pay off later.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Yeah. No.
And no matter what. Always swallow.
You know what? I don't swallow.
Wow.
I don't. I consider it beneath me.
Oh, they like it though.
My performance is enough.
Oh, let me guess. The blowjob leads up to something else?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't swallow. If I do, I spit it in their face.
Wow.
Or we kiss with it.
Okay.
Oh my God, I'm giving away all of my secrets.
Poodle. Outback or Olive Garden?
Something shouldn't win awards, but that's comic time and they should win awards. Olive Garden any day. Salad.
Oh, I'm going to say Outback for the pumpernickel bread. I love that bread.
That shit. No.
But if you threw in Red Lobster, then they're both out the window because it's Red Lobster. It's those cheddar biscuits.
I'm going to do this. Oh, this is a really good one.
Okay.
Let's see. This is a quick one. One will say, when's the next NYC live show? Miss y'all. It'll be in the fall. We're going to tour in 2023. And we had another question about Vegas. We are looking to do a kind of weekend in Vegas and hopefully late February, early March. We're going to try to get it where it doesn't interfere with much of your spring break, but we're trying to do that
We're trying to do that. Yeah. So,
Trust me, we have not abandoned Vegas. We're going to do something where we're going to have like a VIP meet and greet one night, and then we'll do a couple other. It'll be like a VIP weekend where you'll get a couple meet and greets, big package. We're actually looking to have trying to find packages at hotels. So please stay tuned and hold, please.
We're working on it. Okay. Hold on. Oops. Poodle.
What are you doing?
I'm prepping it for this next question. Okay. Poodle.
Yeah.
What? Someone wants to know, what would each of our housewives' taglines be?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
going to go first because I feel like yours is just going to be disgusting. So.
Not at all.
All right. Hi, I'm Matt. I might call you sugar, but that doesn't mean I'm sweet.
First of all, you don't say your name. That just tells you how often you don't watch.
You might call me
sugar. Okay, here's mine. Don't come for me. Come in me.
Gross! Gross! Gross!
Muffin's barking. He's hearing it going, this is filthy.
That was good.
Don't come for me. Come in me.
Oh
my God.
Wow.
Okay. I'll let you explain this. We had a couple questions about this, but some people say, what game shows were you on? Where was Maddie on and when? I was only on one. Best trivia show ever, but I was on twice and I won a bunch of money. But yours, you've been on like four.
I was on the very first game show. And actually, one of the reasons why Jake and I are doing this is because a game show casting producer that put me on game shows, he ended up he was on Dear Maddie. His name's Paul Gordon. It's a great Dear Maddie episode. He was on Dear Maddie, but he listened to the episode of Jake and I on Dear Maddie. He was like, you guys are a fucking show.
It is really one of the reasons we're doing it.
And his wife at the time was one of the executive producers of Shaws of Sunset. And we actually filmed a pilot. This is a question y'all probably would like to. We filmed a show, like a reality. It was kind of before Queer Eye and All. Before Queer Eye and All came. This was like 6 years ago, before we started the pod, but it was us kind of going around and helping people. Don't ask us to do it now. We're not. but anyway, so we filmed the show and everything. And then from that, Jake and I said, we should do something like together, like a pod or something like that.
That was the thing. Yeah.
That's how it started. But he cast me on Minute to Win It, the woman on Guy Fieri on NBC. I won $50,000 on that game show. That was my second game show, y'all. Because once you get in game shows, they like put you on game shows, especially game shows that are starting out, because they want to make sure you have good contestants.
I've been paid more than once to come and try out game shows because I was good on a game show.
I've done that too.
I know it's a weird thing, y'all, but I've been paid to do it.
The guy who was going to be the host of Jeopardy, who got fired because he got Me Too'd, called me in all the time to just talk to me about game shows, and we would just play them. But he does
who
it
was
now.
It?
I don't want to say his name. He was the one. Oh. He was supposed to host Jeopardy. He was a producer.
I know who
Mike.
That is.
Yeah,
never
Mike.
Mind. Yeah.
Yeah. He was cute too. The first game show I was on was Show Me the Money with William Shatner in 2006. That was with Juliana Huff. It was with, what's his name? William Shatner. And, not a what's his name. It was with William Shatner and
Maddie, do you have any questions for me?
Yes, it's true. He at one
Thank you for that queen who said not a bad William Shatner on my last.
No, I told you it was good. It was good.
Now date 89.4.
He did make myself.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. He did make a joke that didn't make the edit because they wanted me. I came out. I used to wear all the time. I had a man bag. I called it my merce. And so they had me come out with my merce. And he's like, what is that? I said, well, it's my merce for me to win money. And he said, so it's a fashion and it's a fashionable bag. Would you call it a fag?
Stop.
Yeah, William Shatner made that joke. Like, and this was in 2006 where people could, if he did that now, I could get him Me Too'd and fucking destroyed. Yeah. But anyway, okay. Don't come after Will Shatner. I don't care because I won $590,000 on that fucking show. So I'm fine with it.
Y'all, and then she lost it all in the crash.
No, I didn't lose it all. It's just a lot of it's in my 401k. So I can't touch it. So, but I did put it in like 2007 because everybody told me not to spend it. And so I tried to be good and I put it on the stock market and then, but it, you did, it came you back
did
up.
Go to, you did go to school on it too.
I did go to school on it, on yeah. grad school. But Juliana, there was these dancers for your answer and Juliana Huff was a dancer and she loved me. She talked to me out of the bathroom. She's like, I love you. It was really fun. So I did that. Show Me the Money, The Minute to Win It. And then I was on on NBC, and then I was on a show called The Great Escape that was on TBS with Tom Papa, me and my friend Michael. We failed terribly, but we had a lot of fun. It was like escaping from I talked about that. We didn't win any money. And then I was on a show on Game Show Network called Divided. I technically won, but it was like you had to fight over the money you won. So I won like $2,000 on that. And then I was on a game show called Boom with my friends Michael and Allie, where it was like a trivia question. And if you get it wrong, this thing explodes. That was on ABC. Tom Papa was a host. And we won $300,000, so $100,000 each on that game show. So
Jesus.
It's a lot of money on game shows. So it's been – and now I've probably been on too much. And although they do want me to come in for what's the Wayne Brady one? I just haven't been home.
Let's Make a Deal.
You want me to come in on Let's Make a Deal?
Again, that's not a question about what's that show. That show has been on for years and years and years. Also, I think it's completely in poor taste for you to talk about how much money you made, but that's just me.
People, no, yeah. You won $17,000 on yours or 12 or something like that. You're on a game show. It's on TV. It's not like you're asking someone how much they make.
We don't talk about money. We don't talk about money.
Y'all, Poodle won $12,000 on his.
I did. That's my only game show.
And it was really cute watching Poodle because he gets so competitive and he would get it right and you would see like Lil J Bird go, yes, I crushed them.
There was
he crushed them. The other people were so stupid on that show.
They were so stupid. I destroyed all of them.
You did.
The only one who I couldn't destroy was Ken Jennings. And I went against Ken Jennings both times. I chose the best person from Jeopardy to go against both lightning rounds on Best Ever Trivia Show.
Oh, it was great. By the way, I thought you're done.
There is one moment, too, where you have my brother has it saved as a GIF of me. I need to get him to send it to me. Of me where the guy who's beside me has to choose between two categories. And one is composers and the other is fashion. And the guy goes, I'll choose fashion. And I look up to the sky like, fuck me. I'm so not playing it cool.
You're so not.
Like, I can't even do that on television. Yeah, y'all can see my Best Ever Trivia Show where I show clogging thing. It for some reason this Best Ever Trivia Show is shown in every tire rotation place in the world. For some reason,
it's on Game Show Network. Yeah,
all the time. So yeah,
I can't remember the game show. I have to ask, but the funniest game show I've ever seen is my friend Michael, who's also friends with Ronnie. We all did improv together. Ronnie from Crappens. They were on that game show, and you could tell Ronnie didn't give a fuck that he was on a game show, and I think he got a little drunk before. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. He just like was cutting jokes. He was
what
so funny.
Show?
It was a Game Show Network show. I forgot what it was called, but they were so fucking funny on that show. I saved it on my TiVo until I had a TiVo.
This is a good one. This will put to rest some rumors.
What?
This is addressing to me. You always joke that Maddie's red hair comes from a bottle. Does the carpet match the drapes? Was Maddie born a redhead? And if not, what is his natural color?
So I don't know if you know this, because I don't know if I ever talked about it. I was born a redhead, actually.
I've seen the pictures. You were a dirty blonde.
No. The very first baby pictures, my mom's grandmother was a redhead, Grandma Maybelle. I actually was born a redheaded baby because my dad was pissed. He went, fuck, I got a redheaded son, because he didn't never wanted that.
A lot of them turn out to be faggots.
And then, you know how babies are born with hair and then all their hair falls out and it comes in a different, that's what happened. It all fell out and came in a different color.
It was like light brown.
And then it was like light brown. Sometimes in the sun, like in the summer, I used to put like sun in my hair and people would call me.
Yeah, he put sun in, y'all. Of course he did.
We all did in high school. And I didn't. And then you were too busy practicing your Barbra Streisand on your piano.
Maybe.
but the people would call, some people would call me red in the summer or because it would be kind of strawberry. And then my beard was red. So there you go. And as far as my drapes, I'm not talking about them.
So the answer is you do help things along.
Oh, it's super. My hair is, and don't message me and say, I like silver hair. I want to see. That's great. But
your hair is whiter than mine. And that's, because I have kind of like, y'all know me. I have like salt and pepper hair that is going towards gray now.
It's pretty silver, especially on the sides. I don't dislike, I'm just grateful I have hair. But
me too.
Honestly, the big reason where I got the idea to do it is I was kind of getting work as an actor. And
no,
this was like,
why you, that's 50, a good reason to do it.
Honestly, I went, my agent said, have you ever thought about coloring your hair, and I colored my hair red, and suddenly I started booking national commercial after national.
Yeah, because it was hot for a while.
It had nothing to, and honestly, it made me think it's just as a performer, half the time has nothing to do with you and your talent. It was just the fucking color of my hair. Yep. So anyway.
Okay,
let me look at the other one. Poodle.
Yeah.
What is the official record of how many times I've farted on the podcast?
Countless. The number of times he's farted in my face on camera, I believe only once. But he farts on the podcast a nondescript number of times. It's, like, I can hear it, and sometimes we edit it out. Like, it's a real problem. I've asked you to go get something checked gastrointestinal, but you refuse to.
I refuse because I like making him sit in it, literally. I'm going to ask you another one because that was a short one. And so the second one I want to ask you is, what was Poodle doing in Europe when he was answering calls for that agency, and how old was he? Also, what are his thoughts and experience with German men? Also, I'm a German man. Dick emoji, pig emoji.
Here's the thing. What I was doing I wasn't in Germany. I was working for the Salzburg Festival at the Festspielhaus, and I was booking tickets that summer. And let's just say the Germans have been good to me. The Germans who I have slept with have been.
And you were just, by the way, you were just there to just live and work in Europe and just be in Europe for the summer, right?
Yeah. Well, what happened was,
we'll get back to the Germans, but I just, you were there.
Right after I finished my last contract in Austria, that I was kind of tired of living in Austria.
As a musician, were you playing in Austria?
Yeah. I was a vocal coach / accompanist for an operetta company that toured all over.
There we go.
And I kind of resigned my, I was going to go back to the U.S. And then I got a job offer to work in Salzburg at the Festspielhaus and for one summer. And I'm like, I loved Salzburg in the summer. They paid me well. And I was thinking, I love the Salzburg Festival because they do weird opera shit, and I could see all the shows for free.
What a dream!
And yeah, it was a really fun time. It was a lot of German men fucking me with their girthy dicks. Most of the time, they are quite girthy. I've been very happy with the German men that I've met. Call me, slip into my DM, German guys. We'll talk later.
Wow. That was wow.
Anyway, but that's what I was working at the Festspielhaus in Salzburg.
All right.
But never in Germany. I just toured Germany. I never worked there.
I'm asking another one because I want to, because I don't, Poodle, how do you feel about wombats?
I'm for them.
What is a wombat? I don't know what it is.
It's like a rodent.
I'm against.
I just said I'm against. For them. Okay, you're
I'm against.
Against.
I'm against a rodent.
All right, I'll give one, let's see. Oh, this is, okay, this is a good one, I think. I'll answer this. Okay. Let's see. Oh, that's the one we wanted to say. Is there a reason why you didn't cover this season of Winter House? Will you be covering Summer House when it comes out next year? Is there a plan to cover MILF Manor on TLC this January? It looks so trashy. The reason why we didn't cover Winter House was it was in the middle of our fucking tour.
It was.
So we just said there was no way.
Also, we didn't like the show.
We hated the cast.
We did
not like the first season. Summer House, we're going to talk about it when it comes back. We both kind of think it's played out.
I think so, yeah.
So we're going to talk about it. MILF Manor is something on the discussion board.
We're going to see that first episode and see. We don't want it to be a labor of love, y'all.
Yeah, I'm going to answer this from Erica, Sissy Erica, who says, Poodle, why the hatred for Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You? Am I a Carl's wife by being my ringtone during the holidays? Number one, you are a Carl's wife for it being your ringtone during the holidays.
You are.
Yeah. And that's fine. You can own your Carl's wifery. That's fine. Here's why I don't like it. I think I've said before, it is a substandard kind of Motown song. It doesn't have a good bridge. It doesn't have it was written, if you look at the time it was written, as like a B-side throwaway, and it became so famous because of Mariah Carey. So I think I have a problem with the song, not necessarily Mariah's vocal. I do wish for the Mariah vocals we had in the 90s and early 2000s, but I don't think we're ever going to get those again. And don't come at me for Mariah hate, because I'm fine with her.
I'm fine with her. I think I agree with everything you say. I mean, the vocals
it's
fine.
The quality of the song is what I have a problem with. But you know what? If you love the song, make it your ringtone during the holidays. Carl's wife it up. That's all I got to say.
Carl's wife it up. This next one's from Eliza. You know Eliza, she says she wants to know, I like this question, what videos or mobile apps or games do we both look at when we're stuck on the toilet for a while? Now, I want to say before I answer this question, I don't sit on the toilet for a while, y'all, because you shouldn't do that, because that's how you get hemorrhoids. And when you're gay, you don't want hemorrhoids.
That's true.
So you should actually take a poop quickly and get off the toilet.
That's true.
But what, so I don't think either of us, I think both of us are quick shits. So
I do the New York Times crossword app.
He does that. I do, there's a, what is it called? It's with this little koala bear. It's called like, I enjoy.
What the fuck?
Oh, it's called Mind Pal. I do Mind Pal. It has little games. It does
is that,
that
for ages 5 to 8?
Yeah, uh-huh. You can do the what is the thing that everyone does where it puts your score with the green blocks? I do that with it. You can do that. The Wordle? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know you Wordled.
I don't need to tell people that I do it and post a score. That's
I don't do it either.
But yeah, I'll do the Wordle. Although I will say, this is harkening back to y'all. When we were roommates for like 5 or 7 years, someone went down a bejeweled rabbit hole for about a whole fucking month, and it was not me.
I loved Bejeweled for a while.
You?
I was obsessed with it. I my phone didn't leave my hand.
That, or he played on his, I just heard that fucking Bejeweled music constantly for like a month. And I remember one time coming up in the morning and I said, what happened to you last night? He had been stayed up all night playing Bejeweled.
Maybe. I gotta give this is a good one. Why do you call Trish Butter? Y'all,
what?
this is just normal 90 Day Viewing. When Trish, this is Mike's mother, Mike and Natalie, said, butter. Natalie's like, I do not want butter. And Trish said, butter makes you smart. Butter is good. And butter from then on.
She also said butter has nutritional value.
Trish was butter.
Let's see.
Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to step in. This one is, can you tell a top from a bottom just by looking?
We'll answer them. 1, 2, 3.
Yes. That's not always true, but
yes.
70% of the time it's true.
That's now, true. Yeah.
Now, do I believe that there are just tops and just bottoms? No. And sometimes there are sides, people who do not have anal. They're just not interested in it. I'm not one of those people, but that's okay. And I think there's a big enough world for all of us to live in.
Yes.
I have been surprised sometimes by the people I've met who were a certain way. But the good thing about the gay apps is they let you know right away. So rarely yeah. are you surprised. I think it's easy to tell most of the time, but the world is changing.
It is changing.
I would say this. It is not by look, but by feel. Like I can talk to someone and then by feel, I can touch their hard penis in their pants.
Okay. Wow.
That's what I have to say.
That's what he is. I like this one just because this is kind of a serious question because some of y'all ask some serious questions. This is, how did you get out of your lowest point mentally?
That's a really good question.
That is a really good question. I will say this, and this doesn't happen. Maybe it's different generations now of LGBTQ, or I shouldn't speak to T, it's different, but LG and B people.
Trans people have a completely different experience.
I remember though when y'all know my master's was not just psychology, it was this program that focused a lot on LGBTQ psychology. So we read a lot of studies and things like that. And there was an article that they basically talked about that LG at the time, they said LGBT, but people dealt with trauma or life or traumatic life events kind of easier or had more resilience or adaptivity. I don't know if this is true now for younger generations, but for generations where you had to come out, you could deal with that a little easier, not always, but often because you had to go through the process of coming out. And, you know, when we came out, Jake and I had to seriously think about, we knew they'd probably be okay, but think about what would happen if our parents and our family completely disowned us.
It was a struggle. And
it was a serious question we asked ourselves continuously.
It was and it was a struggle, and it was something that took a lot of work on ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. So I feel like that often when I'm in my lowest place mentally, I ask myself, and I used to do this with clients. I used to do it when I volunteered at the Trevor Project, which is a suicide helpline for queer youth, but it helped a lot. I would ask, is this harder than coming out? And there's very few things in my life, even after all this year of kind of with my dad and other things, what's happened, none of those things are harder than for me having to come out. And so, I think that's kind of something that helps me when I'm in a place low mentally is to know that. So that's for me.
No, that's great. I think for me, it's when I'm at my lowest point. What do I do to come back from it? Is I think we discount for a lot of people. There's this. It's a Nietzsche kind of quote that Nietzsche calls the still small voice inside ourselves that says, keep going, keep doing this. You're going to find something. And we discount that voice. And for me, all you have to do is say, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to keep going. In the Nietzsche quote, the quote I've talked about on the podcast before, but the Nietzsche quote that always gets me is if you're laying there in the night of your darkest night, it's 4 a.m. This is paraphrasing, of course, and you ask yourself, must I do this? Am I stuck? Must I write? For Nietzsche, it was must I write. Must I write? Must I dance? Must I act? Must I do this? And the voice answers back in the smallest voice and the most inner voice possible says, yeah, you must. Then you got to. You got to listen to that. And even if that voice says, you got to keep going. I guarantee you.
We literally put a microphone in front of our voices.
Yeah.
And amplified that shit.
I just, that's one thing I want to tell people is, and it's not that, I don't want to say that people who, God knows, people who end their life by a suicide are weak. They just see no other way out. But like, if you can focus on listening to that still small voice.
I love that.
Yeah. Love that. And because that voice will never steer you wrong.
And yes, and I think find community that helps amplify that voice, because that's what the Sissy Squad, yep, and our sissies have 100%. Become. Find a community that supports that voice. All right, pick a fun one, and then we have our last one we already chose, so pick a fun one.
You're making me do a fun one. All right.
Have to do whatever you want.
Okay, no, this is a good one. If Maddie gets married, will Poodle be the best man or the flower poodle? And will he show up wearing white? Number one, I'm not going to your wedding.
Yeah, I was going to say, Poodle's not coming to my...
Number two,
he's not going.
I will crash your wedding. And I will show up in a white ensemble looking better than whoever you're marrying.
He will, which... I'm not getting married for a long ass time. But y'all, he will 100% show up and wear white.
And I will wear white.
100%.
Y'all, if you invite me to your wedding, I will wear white just because I'm thinking something will strike me. Yeah.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I wear white just to be contrary. Oh, grrr.
Okay. Oh, grrr. Oh, all right. Grrr. This is the last question that we're going to do, y'all.
End of our AUA.
This was really fun. This was
fun.
So much nicer than talking about a happily ever after.
I know.
I'm
still barking.
Great. Okay. So friendships that span over the decades sometimes result in friends parting ways. Yeah. What do each of you value most in your friendship, and what do you attribute to its longevity?
Okay.
That's a good question.
I'll start.
Please.
What I love about you, and I've said this, you're never going to get this any other time, so just don't ask it. Is I've never known someone who is more unapologetically themselves as you are.
Thank you.
Don't say thank you. Just let me talk. And I think that helps because I never think you're coming from a place of trying to either change me or I never think you're trying to be fake with me. So I think both of us want the best for the other.
For sure. 100%.
And I think neither of us have our own agendas for each other, and that's just impossible. But and I think we both have things that each of us does better than the other.
For sure.
And we kind of start to let the other take care of that. It took us a while to do that, but that's what it is. That's longevity. I think also you have to let a lot of stuff go. And that's something I've had to learn to do because same. I still do correct you and I'm always going to correct you.
I think people think it bothers me when you correct me, but it doesn't. It's literally sometimes I appreciate it and then the other times it doesn't bother me. I either appreciate it or I just don't even half the time pay attention. I don't mean that in a, it's just something that it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that
it's a different thing though from being a friendship and then starting a business partnership.
Very different.
And I think you and I had to learn about it. I think that whole idea of letting things go, that was a big thing. Like we, Jake and I've talked about, like if we're talking about something, we've never really fought or argued. Like sometimes we'll be like, you're being snippy or did it, but
we work it out. And I think we find we dissect it. Then I've learned to really bring it up and say, I think you're being snippy with me here. I don't understand why you're getting mad at me here.
Or I'll ask you about intention. Like, were you intending to say this? Because I took it this way. And most of the time you're not. I also think sometimes I don't know where I heard this from. And I've already told you this before, but we'll be discussing something and we'll not be agreeing. And I'll go, wait a minute. Who cares about this more? Does Jake care way more about this than I do? Because sometimes I realize, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I really don't care that much about, and not in a bad way, but like that this minuscule minutia thing we're talking about, I'll be happy either way. But then sometimes I go, no, this is really important to me and I really want to discuss this. That's been helpful. I also think for me, the thing quality I like about, I value in you is I just, boundaries and were really hard for me. And so that was something you're really good at. And you always, we've heard stories about Mother Poodle. That was something you were brought up to have. I was not. So it's really helped me be, I feel like much more of letting in people in my life that I want to put in my life and not being taken advantage of.
No, you stand up for yourself so much more than
so
you did
much more.
When I first met you. People walked all over you.
Yeah, I got that a lot. So I say that to y'all, if you are in that situation where you're being, that is a pattern you can change. So,
And it's mostly a shadow of your past. Of how you were raised, but you can change it.
I think something too that, you know, someone else, we didn't answer this question, but somebody asked what was our favorite cabaret that we did. And I think it's probably, I could answer this for you. I think it's always going to be our first. And the only reason.
It's always the first.
It's always the first, but because I think what contributes to our longevity is that was a big deal for us to do a cabaret where we weren't being in drag, but we were putting on women's clothes. We were being very effeminate. And I know y'all know us now and think that's easy for us, but 15 years ago, that was really hard for us to do. And I could not have done that alone. And I can say that probably neither could have you.
I could not.
We did it together. And after I've gone through, like, that's something I've gone through with no one else. And I never will go through that with anyone else.
And I think we both helped each other access parts of each other that we didn't have.
And we're also both bottoms and like different men. So that's a reason why we've also never fought.
That's true.
It all, so superficial and deep, it all worked out.
I would have gotten it regardless. I would fight you and I would. You'd have no chance. I'm sorry. I love you, but you'd have no chance.
Ooh, Gary, roll that back.
I'm just better at it than you are.
Roll that I love you back over and over and over, Gary. Anyway, I love you too, Poodle. And sissies, we love y'all.
That's the AMA. I hope you've learned a little bit more about us. We thank you for this year of 2022. I still don't know how to process what's happened. This year was the year we toured. We got to meet so many of you, and I still haven't fully processed. I was journaling on the plane, and I was still trying to process some stuff. I'm a fast processor in some ways. I'm a slow processor in others. So I'm just now processing a lot of the tour.
I need to think about that. I think that could apply to me in other ways.
I'm a very fast processor in quick, like fight or flight things. But for emotions, I'm a very slow processor.
I'm going to think about that. What do I process slowly? That's a good question to ask yourself. Yep.
You do process that something slowly. I'll tell you that now.
Jesus. Lord, help us. All right, everybody. We love y'all very much. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Y'all have a good one. We'll see
better
you.
Fuck that baby New Year. And y'all remember, that baby New Year is like that ghost baby. It just wants to see ghosts fuck.
Come on, fuck that ghost. Fuck that ghost.
So sorry.
That's from Lalu.
Bye, y'all. We'll see you next time. And remember, keep going.
Queen.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.